You know, it was a good Sunday. I hardly remember what we did. Sometimes when it's just really good, you just feel like you're in a dream world, you know. Sunday was just special. Just special. I love it when the Holy Ghost comes to church. Amen. Praise the Lord. But anyway, it would appear he's going to allow you to teach this tonight. So if you start speaking and flop over in the floor, slain in the spirit, we'll know we'll do something else. But
amen. Well, that's all right. Too. That's all right, too. That's awesome. Yeah. Well, Lord, we just bring this message before you, Father, and we ask that you open our hearts and that this word, your words, will go into our spirits as a rhema word and be alive to us. And we just thank you, Lord. I ask for your help. I ask for your anointing. I ask, Father, that you be strong tonight within me and let your words come forth strong and life-changing for all of us. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord began to put this message on my heart a couple of weeks ago, and I just hadn't had time to get to it. But we have an enemy, and there's been... Over the last month, we've had a lot of frustrations, a lot of things coming against us. You know, it'll just be like all of a sudden there's frustrating things or confusing things or we'll lose things or just, it's just been, and I felt it's just, and I've heard other people say the same thing, and I felt like it's the enemy just coming in to distract us from what God is wanting us to put our attention to. And so message tonight is about watchman prayer and being on the alert and be watching. I'm going to start in Psalms 23:5 and just a portion of that. But King David was talking to the Lord and he said, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." Well, a table represents a place of nourishment, of fellowship, a place of peace, a place of good times. But it's right in the midst of our enemies. And even while we have enemies around us, God will prepare a place in the midst of them where we have fellowship and peace and refreshment and nourishment. And it really messes the devil up when we have no fear of him. When we know he's out there, but we're sitting at this table of the Lord and we're not afraid. When we don't have any fear of the devil, he doesn't have any hold over us. You know, if we're afraid, he has something there to get in. He has a hole to get in and an opening. 1 John 4:18 tells us that God is love and there's no fear in love. And all of our actions come from two basic emotions, either love or fear. And love and fear don't mix. You're either in fear or you're in love. But when we have the love of God strong in us, it just drives out the fear. Because having a confidence of God's love for us and having a knowledge that Jesus already won the battle over the enemy gives us victory. Jesus already won this war against the enemy, and we don't have to be afraid of the enemy and what he may be trying to do. Don't let what the devil's doing get bigger in your awareness than your awareness of God's presence in your life. Be aware that God is here with me. And the devil may be raising all kinds of noise and ruckus out there, but he's out there and we're here, and we need to put our attention on the Lord and be aware of God's presence with us. Isaiah 62:6, and all of my scriptures are New King James tonight, I believe. And God is talking, and he said, "I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem, and they will never hold their peace day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent." And so Watchmen in the Old Testament, watchmen always watched over cities, but also watchmen watched over the crops. And when there was getting ready to be a big harvest or the harvest, crops were ready for harvest, they put a lot more watchmen on the crops so that the enemy wouldn't come in and steal their harvest. And I believe that we're at a point of major harvest. You know, we have sowed a lot of tears through the years for souls. You know, we have sowed a lot of money, and we have a financial harvest coming. We have a lot of things that we have planted in the Spirit that are ripe and ready to be harvested. So now's the time when we need to be watching over our harvest that the enemy doesn't come in and steal it. Hallelujah. Genesis 2:15 in the garden, the Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and keep it. The word tend in Hebrew is adad, and it means care for, work, serve, and worship. I looked it up in the Hebrew and I was totally surprised. But every one of us has a sphere of influence. We have our own garden. We have our family, our church, our business, our place of work. We have spheres of influence. And we, over the places where God has given us a sphere of influence, it's our job to care for it, to work it, to serve within it, but also to worship. And worship is so important because it sets the atmosphere right. It puts the atmosphere right, and it welcomes God's presence in there, because wherever we worship, that's where God is. And it puts his presence in there, and what greater protection over our sphere of influence than to have God there in the midst of it. And it said, and keep it. Keep is the Hebrew word shamar. It means to guard, protect, watch piece by piece until God finishes the process. Well, are we a work in process? Is our families a work in process? Is our church a work in process? Yes, it is. And we're to watch over it piece by piece by piece until it's done, until it's through. We're not to lay down on the job. Hallelujah. We have a sphere of influence, our assignment from the Lord that we have to guard. And we need to keep the serpent out of our garden. Hallelujah. Protect what belongs to you. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4:27 says, neither give place to the devil. Don't give him any room. The Amplified says, leave no such room or foothold for the devil. Give no opportunity to him. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. And that's why it's important that we keep our fellowship and our relationship with the Lord alive and active. And, you know, like the psalmist David, every day say, search me, O Lord, see. Are there wrong attitudes? Is there something in me that's not right? Repent of what's not right. And you know, just continually, Lord, I want my attitude to be right. I want my actions to be right. You know, and so, you know, and if it's not right, you know, just fellowship with the Lord. And you can make it right so fast and easy. But it's good to make sure that we're not giving any foothold to the devil. 2 Corinthians 2:10 through 11. And it says, now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ. Number 11, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. So here it's kind of saying, if we have unforgiveness in our heart, it opens the door for Satan to take advantage of us. And advantage, the word advantage there means to have or hold a greater portion. Do we want the enemy to have and hold a greater portion in our life? No. We must deal with the enemies that are within us or tormenting us. It may be a stronghold of unforgiveness, jealousy, anger, lust, or fear. We must ask God's help and we must command whatever it is to leave because we are God's children and this evil thing has no place in us. And sometimes if people have had a problem with something for a lot of years, it becomes a stronghold. If someone has a spirit of anger and they just cannot control it, they lose control, you know, they need to be coming against it and resisting it. But sometimes people need help with a stronghold. You know, if you're dealing with something that you have not been able to overcome by yourself, you need to get a prayer partner. Pray with me on this. Stand with me. Pray with me. You know, and because sometimes, you know, it says one can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000 to flight. And so sometimes we need a prayer partner or somebody to join with us to get us free from whatever evil could be tormenting us. Hallelujah. Revelation 12:10 says that Satan's the accuser of the brethren. If our mind is being attacked with accusation against other people or looking at other people's fault or accusation against ourselves, if we're down on ourselves and keep thinking bad about ourselves, that's coming from the devil. You know, that God doesn't do that. That's the devil. And so we know if we have accusing thoughts, just kick it out. Say, I resist you, Satan. You have no place here. God will convict us sometimes so we can repent and get free, but God never accuses us. That's a whole different spirit, whole different thing. Ephesians 6:10-12, and then we'll go down to verse 18. Verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So while we don't wrestle with people, there is a wrestling that we have to do against the evil spirits that would come against us. Okay, down to verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. It says we are to pray in the Spirit. So this isn't a battle that we can win in our own effort. We need God's help. And so as we pray in the Spirit, he gives us the help to resist the Satan and he has to flee from us. Hallelujah. We need to be on the alert, watching. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Satan has a strategy to oppose your advancement because your advancement means his defeat. If we advance in the Lord, the enemy's defeated, so he tries to keep us from advancing so he won't be defeated. He has a strategy to use unbelief to make your spirit numb. You know, disappointments, not seeing things happen when we should, will bring sometimes disappointments. And it makes us, you know, it lets doubt come in and unbelief. Faith quickens, makes alive, it's active. Faith touches the unseen power of heaven. Unbelief shuts you down and separates you from the spiritual realm. So Satan wants to get us into unbelief, but when we're in faith, we're connected to that supernatural realm. Hallelujah. Satan wants to use rejection and abandonment to make you feel alone. We are spiritually created to be connecting and functioning with other people. And if the devil can get us out by ourselves, we don't have the strength of the body to hold us up and help us stand strong. It's like if a sheep gets separated from the flock, it's so much easier for the wolves and the lions to attack them. And so the devil uses disappointments and contention and whatever to make us just want to go off and hide by ourselves. And that's just the totally wrong thing to do. We need one another. We're meant to function together. He wants to use betrayal to overwhelm you. When you're overwhelmed, you move from a state of advance to a state of resignation and retreat. Protection from the attacks of the enemy are not automatic. God's plan is to alert us to Satan's tactics. We must be alert and watchful. And if we aren't alert and watchful of the enemy coming against us, he will take advantage of us, or he will gain the greater control of us. Watchmen should sound the alarm when they see someone coming. Is it a friend or enemy? I'm going to read a portion of scripture from 2 Samuel 18, 24 through 27. And so watchmen not only watch for the enemy, but they watch for good messages and good things coming. And so we need to not only be alert of what the enemy might be doing, but we need to be alert what's God wanting to do. You know, what is God wanting to do? What message is he wanting to bring us? Okay, 2 Samuel 18, 24. Now David was sitting between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof over the gate to the wall, lifted his eyes and looked, and there was a man running alone. Then the watchman cried out and told the king. And the king said, "If he is alone, there is news in his mouth." And he came rapidly and drew near. Then the watchman saw another man running, and the watchman called to the gatekeeper and said, "There is another man running alone." And the king said, "He also brings news." So the watchman said, "I think the running of the first is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok." And the king says, "He is a good man and comes with good news." So watchman also brings good news. So we need to hear the good news and what God's wanting to do. A lot of prophecies that we hear is the watchman calling out and says, "God's going to do this, going to do that, going to do the other. Get ready, be ready, be ready." You know, sometimes God might say, "There's a wave of my spirit coming," and we need to know and be aware of what's coming. So when the wave comes, we're ready to catch it and ride with it, ride with what God's doing. So there's good news that comes from a watchman as well. God often opens people's eyes to angels and spiritual things. Sometimes we're aware of the presence of the Lord. Sometimes we see visions. Sometimes we see angels. And those are good things that our eyes are open to see what's coming. Once when my grandmother was a little girl, they lived in tornado country in South Texas, and their cellar was outside their house, so they had to leave their house and run out to a cellar. And every time, their whole family was so afraid of tornadoes, and a tornado was coming, they could see it coming, and they were running from the house to the cellar, and my grandmother was so afraid that she just froze. She couldn't move, and she looked up, and there was a big angel standing at the gate, and peace just came all over her. And she just stood there and was looking at the angel. And then her mom came and grabbed her, and she said, "Mom, didn't you see? There's an angel. We're okay. There's an angel." And the fear left her that day, and she never, ever had fear of a storm again. Hallelujah. So God wants to open our eyes also to his presence and his heavenly hosts that are around us, that we are aware that we're not alone, but the Lord is with us. Hallelujah. And he's there protecting us and guarding us. Watchmen recognize, discern, pay attention, listen. Watchmen are aware, alert, awake, and sober. Ephesians 5:18 says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." When people are drunk in the natural, they become dull and hard of hearing. They become being drunk dulls your senses. But when we're filled with the Spirit, it keeps us alert and aware. So we're to be alert and aware and don't be doing anything that dulls your senses, because we need to be alert and aware. Mark 14:38 says, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Don't sleep on the job. Shake off the day. Shake off the cloudiness. You know, sometimes we get like just walking in a daze, or it's just like cloudy. And we need to, when we feel that way, we need to shake it off. Get in the spirit. Begin to pray in tongues. Begin to pray in the spirit. Shake off the lethargy. Shake off the daze and the cloudiness. Stay alert. Stay aware. Hallelujah. James 4:7 says, therefore, submit to God. Our victory over the enemy is directly dependent on our submission to God. And then it says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist there in the Greek is the word where we get exercise, our word for exercise. And so it means to apply pressure against or exercise. And the more we resist, the stronger we become. So first of all, we submit to God, and then we resist the enemy when he comes. Hallelujah. John 10:10 says, the thief comes except to steal, kill, and destroy. And I've come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. This scripture is the dividing line between what comes from God and what comes from the enemy. It's our measuring stick. Does this come from God or does it come from the enemy? Is it full of life or does it come to kill, steal, and destroy? And so that lets us know whether it's from God or from the enemy. We should never get comfortable with what the enemy sends, like sickness. Sometimes we battle a certain thing. I've been battling with my knees for a while. But I know it's God's will for me to be healed. That's God's will. There's no doubt about it. God's will is that I be healed. Now, if I get comfortable with it and just begin to adapt to it and live with it, I have quit resisting. And we should never stop resisting something that isn't God's will. You know, but in our society, people accept where you are. But if it's not from God, we need to be resisting it and keep resisting it, because we need to stand with what is God's will. And the word is so clear throughout what is God's will. And so, people in our society, people kind of sometimes feed on their sicknesses. You know, it's like, then they become so absorbed in it. Well, you know, I'm having this done and I'm having that done. And I don't know, there's people get all wrapped up in it, like, oh, this is mine. And, you know, they want the attention and the pity, or I don't know what it is. But anything that's not of God, we're to be resisting it and contending for victory over it. Hallelujah. We need to speak God's word over the situation. Matthew 18:18-19. Jesus said, assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. The word agree there is the Greek word symphoneo, where we get the word symphony. And what it means is two people making the same sound before the Lord. And that's why it's important to have prayer partners, people that can come in agreement with you, and you can make one sound to the Lord, you know, for whatever you're needing. It's good to have that prayer of agreement. But I'm going to read the verse 18 in the Rue translation, and you probably don't have that there. But it's really interesting. Here's a part of the believer's inheritance. Whatever you forbid, I'll forbid. All of heaven stands at attention, ready to back you up. But if you allow it, I have to allow it. Whatever decision you make, I'll back you up on it. Whoa. Whoa. What we forbid, all heaven will stand again with us to forbid it. But what we allow, God gave us that authority on earth that we can allow things. And if we allow it, he's not going to override it. He just has to leave it alone. Whatever decision you make, I'll back you up on it. Mark 11, 22 and 23. So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain," and that says means to speak or command, "be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe those things that he says." This second says, in the Greek, is the word Lego, and it's where the game Lego comes from. It's building blocks. And what is this is saying? What you say continually over and over and over. Our words are building blocks that frame our life. Whatever words we're speaking are making a frame about us, and we live in the middle of it. How are we building our life? By what we continually say over and over and over. Are we agreeing with God's word? Yeah. Amen. My God meets all my needs according to his riches and glory. Yes. Amen. And then it goes on to say, whatever he says, Lego, will be done, and he will have whatever he says. And the last one is to command or speak. Hallelujah. Nothing is too hard for God. By being in the Spirit, we can overcome the enemy's schemes. We must conquer. We are warriors in God's army. Hallelujah. God doesn't let us get into any battle that he doesn't equip us to win. Worship uncovers strongholds of the enemy. The presence of God will open gates for the release of God's strategy for overcoming the enemy and entering into God's glory. Worship is such an important part of us overcoming and winning the battle. Because when we worship God, it brings his presence in. And it says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We can't be in his Spirit and in his presence and be bound, because he brings liberty. Hallelujah. That's good, good news. A year ago, well, in December 2012, the Lord told us, get lost in worship and the Holy Spirit will show you the way. Hallelujah. We have the authority to administrate the business of heaven. And the business of heaven is that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Like Jesus told us to pray in the Lord's Prayer. That is the business of heaven, that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. And it's through the Spirit, not through the flesh, that we gain the victory. Our victory isn't in how well we can fight from here. It's how we connect with God here and how we have planted. You know, we learn the word of God, and it says hearing, you know, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word. So we need to hear the word, but we need to hear it until it drops from our head to our spirit, where it becomes a part of our being. You know, when a child is learning math, they have to go over and over and over and over. 2 + 2 = 4. 2 + 2 = 4. And for a little one, you know, it's just a lot of repetition. But when they get it, it's there all their life. They don't even have to think about it. And so learning in the Spirit is kind of like that. You know, it's like speaking the word, meditating on the word. And comes a time when that word we've been meditating drops into a spirit, in our spirit, in our inner being, where it's just a part of us. It's just a part of who we are. We know it. It comes rhema to us. Hallelujah. The rhema word is the Spirit word, that where it's dropped into our spirit, where it's alive and living within us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Zechariah 4:6 says, "It's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts." And then talking about the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12:1 says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. So we need to learn about the spiritual gifts, because that's one of the ways that we'll fight our battles and win. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, "But the manifestation of God's Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." God put us together in the body, and we need one another. Now it says the gifts are given to each one. That's everyone. Everyone in the body needs to have the gifts of the Spirit, or a gift flowing through their lives, because I need the gift of God that you have in your life to conquer and to win in my life. And you need, you know, we are made to function together as a body and to fight together. And we need those gifts that's flowing through each other. There's in the gifts of the Spirit, there's the discerning of spirits. And that's where you discern by the Spirit. It's not what you imagine in your mind. It's what the Spirit reveals to you about a situation. And discerning of spirits isn't just evil spirits. Discerning of spirits is being aware of the presence of God, knowing angels are there. You know, it's being aware of what God is doing as well as what the enemy is doing. And then there's the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. Hallelujah. And it's important to know by the Spirit. Jesus, many times before he healed someone, he would rebuke an evil spirit. Like he would cast out the spirit of infirmity, or deaf spirits, blind spirits, dumb spirits, insane spirits. And so many times Jesus, by the Spirit, knew the demon that was attached to that person that needed to leave before they could receive their healing. Hallelujah. And so we need to be operating and be aware who's our enemy here. You know, there may be somebody you work with or somebody in your family that's just full of, you know, they're just uncomfortable to be around. They're angry. They're, you know, you just feel bad being around them. They just ruin the atmosphere. Well, a lot of times that's an evil spirit. And if God will show you what evil spirit is, it is, you can bind it because we have authority over it. And so knowing what's behind this person's actions can help us take authority over it and help them become set free. Because it's not God's will that they be tormented by demons in the first place. And we are God's representatives here on earth. And so we need to know those things. We need the help of the Spirit to know them. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, "Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy." Prophecy allows God to speak his will through us. And his words, God's words, have creative changing power. They come with life. Remember when Jesus was in the midst of the storm, that they thought they were all going to die out in the storm, and he said, "Peace, be still." He spoke a prophetic word and peace came and the storm was quieted. Remember Ezekiel prophesied to the dead, dry bones, and they begin to come together because God's words have creative power with them. Hallelujah. And when God created the world, he said, "And let there be," and there was. His words have power. And so flowing in the prophetic word gives life, creative life, into people's lives. A lot of times when prophecy flows, it reaches down inside the person and wakes up the call and the plan of purpose of God. And they begin to flow towards God's purpose and plan for their life. So those words have power to wake up God's purposes and God's plans. Hallelujah. We should be prophesying. We should get in the Spirit, prophesy over our community. Some examples of how the gifts of the Spirit work encompass Friday night. Brother Allen had a word of knowledge. There's a lady here that's been thinking about suicide all the time. You've just been thinking and thinking and thinking you want out of here, and you're thinking, considering suicide. And there were three ladies that actually that night that were thinking about suicide in church, and one man. Well, God absolutely set them free. One of the ladies was Maria's sister. She was going through menopause and some hard things, and God set her totally free from that spirit, because that's an evil spirit that comes, and it needs to be cast off of them and leave. God's purpose is that they be free and filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. And she and these ladies that had this suicide spirit on them came up later in the service. They were slain in the Spirit. They spent time in the Spirit. They laughed and laughed and laughed in the Spirit. It was an awesome, wonderful time. Hallelujah. They were set free. A number of years ago, there was a lady staying at our house from Obregon, Norma, and her husband had been saved years before, but he hadn't been to church in years, and he didn't want to go to church. And we were praying before they left, and Calvin had a word of knowledge that her husband was bound by a spirit of the pleasure of sin. And he broke that and prayed against it in the Spirit. He had to have the knowledge of what was hindering this man. He broke it, and she went home that weekend, and the next day, he was in church with her, and he's been in church ever since. So having the word of knowledge working through us can set people free where they're free to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Another thing of the word of knowledge a few years ago in Tepachi, someone we brought took with us got up and had a word of knowledge. Said, somebody's here believing for a new house. Come up, run up here. Two ladies ran up front, and it was Griselda Hoyos and Olga Suha, pastor's wives, and they both went running up. They had been asking God for a house, and they lived in a little house next to the church, like a little parsonage, tiny little house, but they wanted their own house. Well, right now, both of these ladies have brand new houses that they're living in without a debt, without anything. God did a miracle, sent somebody in that had a heart to help them build a house, and they both have beautiful, nice houses. But a word of knowledge worked with a gift of miracles to bring what they were asking God for. So a lot of times, gifts of the Spirit work together. Hallelujah, the gift of faith. And miracles, they work together. And Leon gave some words of knowledge when we were praying at the house. You want to tell those real quick? You know what they were? Yeah.
He gave two words that I thought they were specifically for me. I found out later a lot of people wanted some of it. And, you know, the word of God's for everybody that has faith to receive it. But he came out during the prayer time, and I'm not going to say his exact words. I don't remember them that accurately. But one of the things was step up and step out. And if you go ahead and step out, then the mantle of anointing will come on you, and you'll have what you need to do what you're stepping towards. And I needed that, because the Lord had been speaking to me to step into some things, to start doing some things. And I was just waiting and waiting. And so now I've made that decision. And since that, it's been about a week now, I've made some decisions, and we've made some changes, and I'm moving the right direction, and I can already feel that mantle of anointing coming on me to do what I've wanted to do. So that was a good word. He gave another word. He said, there's going to be an escalation of the fulfillment of things that God has been telling us he's going to do. And, you know, I think all of us need that. There's something in all of us that we feel like God has spoken. He's wanting to do some certain things in all of our lives, you know, purpose, you know, individually, corporately, even as a nation, as the body of Christ worldwide. It just grows. But God said he's going to do some things. And the word of prophecy was that there's going to be an escalation, a moving forward, a moving up, an escalation of those things that God has promised. And I grabbed that, because I've been waiting for 50 years for some stuff, and I'm ready for it to happen. And it's going to, because God's going to escalate it.
Amen. Yes. So we need the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. We need to be aware of our position in God. We are God's sons. We are His representatives on earth. Ephesians 1, we're going to read 18 through 23. It's a prayer. He was praying that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened, that you know what's the hope of His calling and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe according to the working of His mighty power. Is it according to what we can do? No, it's according to His mighty working. Hallelujah. Which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that's named, not only in this age, but also in that which has come. And He has put all things, everybody say all things. He has put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body. So He's the head. We're the body. Where are the feet? They're on the body. And He has put all things under His feet. He has already won the battle for us. So if we join on His side, we will win. Hallelujah. Amen. Ephesians 2:6 says, He raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Colossians 3:1-3 is about staying focused. It says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And so we're not to live as a reaction to darkness. The darkness isn't where our attention needs to be. We need to live in response to the light. We need to keep our focus on the Lord, and we'll be drawn to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We don't deny that there's a devil and that there's a problem out there, but we just refuse to be influenced by it. Hallelujah. We respond to the light. Joshua was in a great battle when he went in to take the promised land. Joshua 1:2. I'm going to read a little bit of this account because it's a word for us too. God was speaking and He said, My servant Moses is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and this people, to a land which I give to them, to the sons of Israel. And every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I have given that to you, as I said to Moses. Down to verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you, and I will not fail or forsake you. Down to verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you in all the places where you go. So the Lord was taking them into the promised land, and He said, I will go with you. And He led them city by city by city to take the land. Jericho was where they started, and we know how they won in Jericho, and the wall fell down and all of that. The entire time when they went into a battle, obeying God, listening to what God says, and doing exactly what He said, they won the battle. But if they didn't obey God, or if they gone into sin, then they would lose. But our victory is in obeying how God tells us to fight the battle that we're facing right now. God has a plan, He has a way of victory, and we need to do it His way. Hallelujah. And then we will win the battle. We'll win the war. Hallelujah. As we enter into a battle, it's important to know the power of our weapons. 1 Corinthians 10:4 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh." So we're in a battle, but we're not fighting out of our own strength or from the flesh. We have to fight in the spirit. Okay, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. So if there's strongholds there, our weapons are here in the Word of God and the Spirit of the Lord to tear down those strongholds. We have the weapons for victory. Revelation 12:11 says, "And they overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death." And so we overcome the same way, by the blood of the Lamb, hallelujah, and by the word of our testimony, hallelujah, and we give our whole lives. You know, we don't love our own lives. We just have given our lives to the Lord. Hallelujah. When you're moving forward in the kingdom and have demonic opposition, here is what you need to declare. I know who I am in Christ. I'm a child of the King. I am God's child by grace with access to heavenly resources. I am an ambassador of King Jesus, who I joyfully serve. And you are just a demon from hell, and I come against you in the mighty name of Jesus. You get out of here, because I'm staying here to establish God's kingdom, and there's not room for both of us. You going. Hallelujah. That's where, I mean, we have that authority to speak like that to the enemy. He has no place here. Hallelujah. Paul, after 35 years of ministry in 2 Timothy 4:7, he says, "I've fought the good fight of faith. I've finished my course." A good fight is a fight we win. Hallelujah. That's a good battle is one we win. And because the Lord's on our side, we need to win every time. Every time, every time, every time. When we're flowing with the Spirit and with God, we will win. Hallelujah. We have the victory. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So, we have an enemy, but God prepares a table before us right in the presence of our enemies. Hallelujah. So we have the victory. We have the Lord on our side. If God is for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Maricela, can we pray for you as a church family? Maricela had lost her job recently, and you're needing money to pay utilities. Is that right? You're just needing some help, and, you know, sometimes we don't have money, but we can pray. And so I'd just like us to pray for Maricela. She's just facing some things right now and needs God's answers and needs some miracles to come through. Hallelujah. If you feel led to, just come up and lay your hands on her. We'll just pray together for her. Amen. God has a victory for her.
As Barbara was praying that the job would open for her, I just saw in my spirit all of us being very in agreement with that in a firm way, in a firm way. And I just, you know, you may want to follow my example here, but I just feel like I just want to say in Jesus' name, job open up and open up now. We command it in Jesus' name. Jesus is Lord over this family. He's Lord over their finance. Here's a woman that's willing to work, ready to work, and has proven that she can work. And so we just open that job. We command it to open now in Jesus' name. Expect the job. Expect the job. It is going to happen. Just get up early and get ready for work. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I believe. Was you finished? I didn't mean to. Yeah, okay. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. We thank you that you've called us to be watchmen. Lord, to watch with discerning hearts and discerning spirit, word discernment rich in our lives, Lord, that we'll see the good, see the bad, see what to do and what not to do. And Lord, I'm impressed by that scripture about David and his watchman. And that watchman recognized the man's run. He said, "That man's running like so-and-so." He was such a good watchman that he recognized the man by the way he was running. And Lord, I want to be that good of a watchman. I want to be that observative where when I see the runner coming, when I see the message coming, I can tell whether the message is going to be good or bad by the way the guy's running. Lord, I want that kind of discernment. I want that kind of observing powers, that kind of spiritual input. I want to be able to see clearly what's about to take place so that preparations can be made, whether we would receive or whether we would reject, whether we would open the gate or lock the gate. Lord, I just long for that kind of a discernment. I pray that all of us, Lord, will have that for our lives, for our families, for our church, and for our country. Father, thank you in Jesus' name for giving us the opportunity to watch, to stand in faith, to pray in faith, and to see things changed by the power of our word as we speak your word. Lord, thank you. Father, as we prepare for Sunday, with the visitors coming all the way from Hawaii, Lord, in their preparation to minister in Mexico, pray, Lord, you'll prepare our hearts here, right here in Douglas and here in this church, that our hearts will all be prepared to receive your word from them, and that we'll be able to give them a warm welcome, not just naturally speaking, but a warm welcome spiritually speaking. Father, in Jesus' name, we just pray that their trip will be in good order and all events will be blessed of you. Father, in Jesus' name, that they'll be totally and completely protected in every sense of the word. Lord, we just bless them as they come, receive them in your name, and look forward to great and mighty things in the days to come because of what they do and what they bring to us, Lord, in the spirit realm. The cross-pollination that'll take place between us and them. That cross-pollination, Lord, between our churches, between our ministries, between our person. Lord, that cross-pollination, and in all cross-pollination, Lord, produces honey, produces fruit. And we just look forward to that in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. See you Sunday. Maybe sooner.